verse of the Bible that we'll consider today is found in Isaiah 35, verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each shall lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Isaiah 35 is a chapter which prophesies of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us of the glorious and wonderful salvation which He will bring. In the former chapter, Isaiah 34, we have foretold the catastrophic judgment of the world. In verse 4, God says that in the end of the world, end of time, the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up together as a scroll. And why? Well, verse 8 of Isaiah 34, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. But here in Isaiah 35, we have the prophecy that God will create out of the wasteland of sin a kingdom of heavenly splendor. Isaiah 35 is a chapter that is sublime to a believer. Read it. And the peace and the calm and the repose of the victory of Jesus Christ becomes ours. It makes our hearts abide in rest. There are some passages in the Bible which thrill us in the victory. Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? There are some passages in the Bible which cause our minds to be overwhelmed with the sovereign power and purpose of God. Romans chapter 9, in Romans chapter 11, who hath directed the mind of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? And there are other passages in the Bible which express the deepest struggles of a believer's heart. Psalm 42. Speaking of the hart or the deer that pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. But in Isaiah chapter 35, we have a passage which is sublime, which gives some of the grandest sentences ever written, the grandeur and the wonder which uplifts the soul of the child of God. It is a chapter that is given for our repose and for our rest. I'll briefly mention to you today that there are a number of interpretations which are given to this chapter. The Jews would see it in terms of an earthly kingdom of Christ. They saw it as a promise that Christ was going to give to them what they wanted, namely the best that this world has to give. There is another interpretation which speaks of a thousand-year reign of Christ after a rapture and sees in this passage a millennium kingdom when the creation will be changed. But the truth is that the chapter is speaking to us of the blessings of salvation that God will give in the church through Jesus Christ, and spanning not only the present salvation that we enjoy now through Jesus Christ, but of that glorious kingdom that shall be when Christ returns yet once more at the end of the world to destroy the world, and then to make the final kingdom of righteousness and glory, and to present it to His Father. The chapter is filled with picturesque language. It speaks to us of a desert that shall blossom. It speaks to us of the fact that God is going to come and save us and open the eyes of the blind and give strength to the legs of the lame. Now the verse that we'll consider specifically now for a few moments, verse 7, is speaking to us of a mirage, or using the figure of a mirage. We could translate it this way: the glowing sand shall become a pool. And the idea is that Jesus Christ shall not be a mirage, merely a fake, but He shall be real, a real place of spiritual refreshment. So this passage gives to us a figure that is expressive, and would be especially picturesque and expressive to anyone who had ever lived in a desert. It speaks to us of the figure of our life as a great journey through a desert. And it's not infrequent that people in the Old Testament had to cross a desert wilderness, which was not only trackless, but more serious. It was without water. And they were accustomed to experience something that we have read about, being deceived by a mirage. Traveling through the desert with the broiling sun beating down upon his head, the tired and thirsty, weary traveler longing for water to slake his thirst would imagine that he sees water in front of him. As he went along across the sandy wastelands and the sun bearing down upon him, he would see ahead a marvelous pool of water. And he would say, "I have only to get there, and I will have all the water I need. When I reach that water, my thirst shall be gone," only to discover that when he got there, it was just sand, and it would happen again and again and again. The sun shining on the sand in such a way as to give the appearance of a sheet of water, but it is a delusion. Now, this is very expressive of the truth of man in sin of himself apart from the true God. This is very expressive of the truth of ourselves by our own sinful nature. It teaches us that man is a traveler. Man is going somewhere, and there is nothing so characteristic of a man in sin that as he goes, he is deluded by what he thinks is going to give him refreshment and joy. We start out with rose-colored glasses. We think that this world is going to be a beautiful thing for us, but we become weary. We face problems and difficulties and miseries and tragedies. We begin to long for satisfaction, some place to turn, some source to give us strength and comfort in our hearts. And we begin to see what appears to be water. We look at something that we think is going to supply an inward thirst, only to discover that it's a mirage. The world of sin is constantly painting mirages in front of us. Now, the point of this word is that Jesus Christ is no mirage. Jesus Christ is true and living water. He's the only place of spiritual refreshment for the heart of man. I said that in this world, spiritually, there are constantly mirages being presented for men and women. Places where apparently they're going to find satisfaction, but it's nothing but sand, which cannot provide water for thirst. First of all, there's the whole idea of pleasures. Often in the world, pleasure is presented as something that's going to slake a person's thirst and satisfy them. Mere pleasure. Egypt held before the boy Moses the pleasures of sin for a season. We read in Hebrews chapter 11. The world says to you, "Are you weary? Are you confused? Are you distraught about all that has happened? You ask the big question, what is life all about? Do you grope for direction as a young woman?" Well, everything that you need can be obtained through pleasure, through beauty. Live for one round of drinks after another. Sinful pleasures, lust and sex, drugs and drinking. Especially on the college level, the college culture, the drinking, the gambling, the drunkenness, and all of this, they say, are going to solve your problems and difficulties, or at least you'll be able to escape them. And the world organizes a whole world of entertainment. Billions upon billions are spent. But all of this is nothing other than pouring sand down a parched throat. It cannot satisfy. Psalm 16, "Apart from thee, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander as a stranger in a desert land." There are others who say to us, wealth, the end of the rainbow, that will do it. There are many who believe that money will buy happiness, and who fall into what the Bible says, the deceit of riches. And that's very easy to do. It's easy for us to find ourselves thinking, if I had this, I would be satisfied. The economy, then, is the answer to all of our problems. What we need is a strong economy. No matter if we have broken homes and abuse of children and murder and abortion of unborn children, forget all of those things. If the economy is strong, everyone will be happy. You'll be happy when you get that new, beautiful 55,000 square feet home. The money and things and clothes and cars. So that happiness will be found in what you get. And once again, the Bible says that this is sand down a parched throat. That it is only God who is rich in mercy who can satisfy our soul, and that we can have all that the world offers and lose our own soul, and besides, even before death, we would end up utterly shriveled and miserable. There are others who say to us, well, then the answer is learning. They hold before mankind intellectual interest, art and music, philosophy. The intellectual life will supply the answers for your soul. There are others who say along this line there is a new age philosophy, a feel-goodism about yourself. What you need to do is be a strong inner person. And then there are others who say the mirage is a change. If you are given a change, then everything will be well with you. You're tired, you're unhappy, you're miserable, you want to be happy? Well, here's hope. Suddenly, it appears on your horizon, a new wife. Get out of that tired marriage. Make for a fresh one and you will find happiness. A new people, a new church, new friends. Leave your problems behind. Come work for us and you will have satisfaction. And what is true on the personal level is also true of society. More and more, society holds before mankind the paradise that is on the horizon. And the Word of God declares, and experience proves, that it is all a mirage, it's all delusion, it's all sand. Apart from God, there is nothing. The true God of the Bible in Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, the Bible declares, Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. The truth is plain. There is one living God. He is called Jehovah. He has revealed Himself upon the pages of the Holy Bible. His Son is the only Savior. Only in Him, by faith and repentance. Only when you know Him, trust Him, obey Him, follow Him, only then can a soul be satisfied. The real water is Jesus Christ. We read in Isaiah 35, the glowing sand shall become a pool. The thirsty land springs of water. There shall be reeds and rushes growing. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the work of salvation that He has performed is no mirage. It's no mere appearance of satisfaction. It is everlasting peace and satisfaction. Brought by the mighty love of God to Jesus Christ, you do not find yourself deceived. You do not find yourself sipping sand, thinking that it's water, but you find the water of life, the satisfaction and the peace of heart and soul, which is to be found in Jesus alone. God's Word begins by declaring to us a truth. You, today, are traveling. You are here today, and you will be gone tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. Your life is a swift journey. And nothing in yourself and nothing in this world can give to your heart or soul peace and joy. You are a sinner. That's your problem. You are under sin and guilty before God and of yourself. You are a fool. You would be deluded to think that you can find satisfaction apart from God. But the gospel declares Christ is the reality. He stood up in the synagogue one day in the temple of Jerusalem and declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that is athirst, let him come unto me, and I will give him living water. But how does Christ do this? He does this, first of all, by making us right with God, and then secondly, by making us alive in God. You see, it all begins with God. In verse 4 of Isaiah 35, we read, your God will come and save you. He will come and save you. It is all of God, the mighty God. The gospel begins by declaring to us the truth that God is the living God. He has fullness of life in himself. He's absolutely sufficient and glorious. And he is the one who by mighty grace gives his Son and brings us to his Son. He gives his Son in order that our depravity and our unworthiness, our sin, might be removed from him, and that we who are lame and blind and dumb may walk and see and hear. Salvation is by grace through Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus Christ alone who can make us right with God. The Word of God tells you today that you are facing God. When you look in the mirror this morning or tonight, remind yourself that you are facing God. And the crucial question in your life right now is, how can you be right with Him? That's the crucial question. Until you answer that question, you'll have no answers in life. And the Bible tells you that you cannot be right with Him of yourself. You cannot erase your sin. You can wash your face before that mirror. You can shave. You can put on the mascara, but you can't. You cannot remove the guilt of sin from your soul. All you do is increase that guilt. But the gospel is what God has done. The gift of His Son and the giving of His Son upon Calvary in the place of all those who He knew from all eternity, His elect and His chosen, blotting out their guilt and forever making their record before Him clean and innocent, so that in Christ all my needs are met. Hear Him, John chapter 10, I am come that you might have life more abundantly. And the response, in thee my soul is satisfied, my darkness turned to light. Pleasures, wealth, philosophy, TV sitcoms, government agencies, these can't give you satisfaction. Christ is the fullness of joy, and you will not find Him a mirage. Come to Him, weary and laden, tired and thirsty, burdened by sin. Come to Him. He is fullness of joy. In Christ is everything. But not only is Christ the water of life because of what He has done for us, but He's the water of life because of what He does in us. He leads us to the Father, and He sets our feet upon a sure path. If you read Isaiah 35, you see that it continues to speak of a way of holiness, that the desert not only becomes a pool of water and becomes a lush place of vegetation, but that there is a highway through this desert. It's a beautiful highway. It's shaded and it's safe, and it leads up to Zion, to the presence of God. It says that there shall be no lion there, and no ravenous beast shall go upon this pathway, and these things shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk upon this pathway. In Christ is perfect safety. And He is the one who gives us to walk and to live in holiness before God. He is the one who creates in us so that our heart loves what God loves. And we delight in God, and we put our trust in Him. This is the work of Jesus Christ. So that we too go up to Zion with songs and everlasting joy in our hearts. We obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's a glorious transformation. Christ is no mirage. Christ is the living water. We began in the desert, hopeless, thirsty, nothing which could satisfy. We began blind and lame, deaf. We began living in a land filled with scorpions stinging us, sin all around us, hopeless. But the mighty grace of God brings us to a pool where we may be washed, where we might have our thirst slaked and satisfied, our eyes opened and our legs strengthened and our ears unstopped, and then, dressed and cleaned, we are put upon a pathway to eternal life. We are given in Christ joy and gladness. We have the joy of forgiveness. We have the gladness of adoption unto the children of God. There is nothing so wonderful as this. In Him, our soul is satisfied. Our darkness has turned to light. Let us praise God now and always for that grace that is in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we pray for its blessing upon us in this day, that we may find in Jesus Christ the gift of grace, all things, for the satisfaction of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.